Today's daf is Shkolim Daf Tezvov, and we are at the Mishnah, 20 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Dalet Amid Beis, Halacha Gimel. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus Refuah Shalom for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza and Ovadia Ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yubada L'Chaim Toivim Rav Moshe Chaim. So the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph discussed different memunim, different people who had different shtellers, they had different jobs in the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, the people mentioned in the Mishnah were just examples of a snapshot in time as to who the Memunim were. But throughout the generations, there were different people that held these respective positions. So the Mishnah now is going to discuss the first of the two that are mentioned in the Mishnah. That is Yochanan ben Pinchas, who was Memunah. He was in charge of the Chaysamois, and Achia, who was in charge of the Nesachim. So a little bit of an introduction. There's certain karbonos that in addition to the animal that was brought, there was also a mincha component. So generally, when you think of a carbon mincha, you're thinking of a specific type of carbon. There's a chatos, there's an oilo, there's an asham, there's a shlomim, there's a mincha. A mincha's a type of carbon. But there were certain karbonos, such as an oila and a shlomim, that had a mincha component. That mincha was referred to as a minchas nesachim, meaning there were many different types of minachos. That mincha in particular, the one that came with karbonos, were known as a minchas nesachim. Now, a minchas nesachim was made up of flour, oil, wine, and depending on what the animal was, that would determine the nature of the mincha. How much flour, how much wine, how much oil, and it was a little bit confusing. Not only was it a little bit confusing, but the mincha, as it being a carbon, had to be brought b'kedusha v'tahira. And it's not so simple to keep your wine and your oil and your flour kaddish. An animal that you were makdish, maybe. But these different items that were going to go on the mizbeach and had to be held and watched on the same standard as a carbon was sometimes a little bit more challenging. And it's for that reason, when someone had to bring a carbon that required a minchas nesachim, he usually would not bring the mincha from his house. Rather, he would show up at the Beis HaMikdash with his animal, if he chose, and he would then purchase the necessary ingredients that he needed for the carbon mincha. So the Mishnah says that the way that purchase went down was in two steps. The first thing was, the Yid would come to the Har HaBayis, and he would meet with Yochanan. He would meet with the person that was in charge of the Chaysamos. He would tell him what carbon he's bringing, the animal that it's going to be. Yochanan ben Pinchas was obviously an expert in the Minchas Nesachim. He would tell him, oh, based on this carbon, this is exactly what you're going to need. This is how much it's going to cost. The person would pay. He would purchase what he needed, but instead of immediately receiving all the ingredients, what he would get is a chaysam. He would get a ticket. He would get something that was proof of payment, that was representative of the mincha now that he's supposed to get. He would then take the chaysam, he would bring it to Achia. This is the second step of this two-step process, and Achia would look at the chaysam, proof of payment, he knows exactly what he needs for his carbon, and he would give him the necessary nesachim. So this was just an old-fashioned way of practically making sure that this person that needs to incorporate a minchas nesachim together with his carbon would be able to do so b'kedusha v'tahira without things getting complicated from a financial perspective. So he would take the money, he would purchase the Nesachim, but he wouldn't receive the Nesachim right away. Rather, he would receive his Chaysam, he would then take the Chaysam. That was the second step, and he would get what he needs. Says the Mishnah, elaborating a little bit on this process. Arba Chaysamis Hoya B'Mikdash, there were four different Chaysamis that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning there were four different options that one could have purchased when it comes to the Minchas Nesachim. Now, it doesn't mean four options. I can pick option A, B, C, or D. But rather, depending on the carbon that I'm bringing, that would determine whether I needed A, needed B, needed C, or needed D. Because of Aleim, what it said on these four chasamis were Egel, that's what it said on the first one. Zachar is what it said on the second one. Gidi is what it said on the third one. V'chayte is what it said on the fourth one. Ben Azay says, Chamisha Hayu, they weren't four, rather they were five. V'aromas Kasav Aleim, it wasn't written in Lashon Kodesh, but rather it was written in Aramaic. And what were the five? Egel, Dechar, which is Zachar in Aramaic, Gidi, Choyte Dal, v'choytei asher. So Ben Azai and the Chachamim argued as to the nature of the chaysamais. And they argued really on 2 points. Number one, 4 chaysamais or 5 chaysamais? According to the Chachamim, 4 chaysamais. According to Ben Azai, it was 5 chaysamais. Number two, they argued about the language that these chaysamais were written in. According to the Chachamim, it was written in Lashon Kodesh. According to Ben Azai, it was written in Aramaic. Now, what's the fifth chaysam that Ben Azai had that the Chachamim didn't have? So, Egel Zohar Gedi, Egel Dechar Gedi, that they were in agreement. Where they differ was, according to the Chachamim, Choyte was the fourth one. According to Ben Azai, Choyte Dal and Choyte Asher were the fourth and the fifth, respectively. So, a Choyte is referring to the Nesachim that a Mitzayra had to bring. So when a Mitzayra completed his term of being a Mitzayra, he had to go through a very intricate Tahira process, some of which was bringing karbanos. Now, depending on the financial situation of the Mitzayra, that determined what type of karban he would bring. In other words, a Mitzayra Asher had a different Tahira than a Mitzayra Dal, a Mitzayra Ani. The most notable difference was the Mitzayra Asher, all his animals, all his karbanos were behemoths. As opposed to the Mitzayra Ani, we were sensitive to his financial plight, and as a result, we said he doesn't have to bring all these animals. One animal he had to bring, and in addition to that, he brought oifos. Now, an oif didn't have any minchas nesachim component, only behemoths did. As a result, the minchas nesachim, technically, of the Mitzayra Asher was going to be different than that of the Mitzayra Dal. It's for that reason, Ben Azai said, that you had to break it up. There was a special chosen for the Chayte Dal, the Mitzayra that's a Dal, and there was a special chosen for the Chayte Asher, for the Mitzayra that's an Asher. Now, the Chachamim said one is going to be enough, and obviously you have to know. The Chayra, if the Dal and the Asher are not bringing the same Nesachim, how could I have one ticket for the Dal and for the Asher? If I'm a Dal, then I need to have a certain amount of Nesachim. If I'm an Asher, it's going to be a little bit more. So the Gemara is going to explain. But the point is, two machloikisin as it relates to the nature of the chaysamis. Number one, was it 4 or was it 5? Chum say 4, but Nazi says it was 5. Number two, was it written in Lashon HaKodesh or was it written in Aramaic? As it relates to the 4 or the 5, where are they arguing? They're arguing in the Mitzayra. According to Chachamim, there was one for the Mitzayra, Chayte, that represents the Mitzayra. As it relates to Ben Azai, it was 2. There was the Chayte Dal and there was the Chayte Asher. The Gemara explains a little bit. Egel, as it relates to the Chaysam of Egel, what was this for? Meshamashim Niske Bas. This was meant for the Nesachim that was brought together with Bakar, together with cows. Gedolim, doesn't matter if they were big or small. Scharmony Kavis, doesn't matter if they were male or female. Gedi, that's the second Chaysam. No Machloikis, Benazin, the Chum, everybody agrees the second one was the Gedi. Meshamashim Niske Atzain. The purpose of it was if you're bringing sheep. Gedolim, Uktan, doesn't matter if they were big or small. Scharmony Kavis, if they were male or female. Chutz Mishal Eilam. The only exception was the ayil. The ayil is a sheep. Specifically, this is important for today's daf, it's a male sheep that's in the second year of its life. So from years 1 to 2, meaning when it's in its second year of life, the male sheep is referred to as an ayil, and the ayil had its own nesachim, and was meshamishim niske elam bavad, and all it was for the elam. Choyte, what about the choyte? Meshamishim niske sholish behemish amatsayr. That was meant for the 3 animals that the mitzayra was going to have to bring. Says the mishum mishum mevakish nesachim. Somebody that needed nesachim, he would go to yoichin. Shumim munah lachaysamis, he was in charge of the chaysamis. V'noyselay mois, he would give him money, like we spoke out in the introduction. Umekabu menu chaysam. And he would get the ticket. Bali eitzel achia, he would then take the ticket, he would bring it to achia, shumim munah al nesachim. He was in charge of the actual nesachim. V'noyselay chaysam, he would give him the ticket, and he would take the nesachim. These were the 2 steps. Ula erev, in the evening, bo and zei tzol zei, Yoichanan and Achia would meet. V'achia moitzi yasar chaysomis, Achia would take out the tickets, right? He had the tickets, meaning you had to give Achia a ticket in exchange for the nesachim. So he now has all the tickets that he received during the course of the day. U'mekabel k'neged namos, and he would have the... And Yoichanan was the one with the money. So Yoichanan and Achia sit down. Yoichanan takes all the money that he collected, pours them on the table. Achia takes out all his tickets, he puts it on the table, and they try to do a reconciliation. Impichasu, if we find out that there was less money than tickets, so money's missing. Pachsu loy visham Yoichanan beisai. So Yoichanan is the one that would have to now make up the difference. So Yoichanan's job involved a little bit of risk. He had a nice stellar, but because he was in charge of the money, if something happened to the money, he actually would have to make it up out of his own pocket. Let's say there was too much money. So you would say, okay, maybe Yochanan can make some money as well. That's the offset for the risk that he takes. No, Hesiru LaHekdesh. That money goes to Hekdesh. Yad Hekdesh Ol. Yoyna, this is a theme in all the sugyas of Hekdesh. Hekdesh always wins. So if there's too little money, you're going to have to make Hekdesh Ol. If there's too much money, Hekdesh is going to end up keeping it. Let's say somebody lost his chaysam. Mamtinan loy ad ha'erev. They would wait until the evening, meaning somebody walks around saying, I'm telling you, I paid, but I can't find my chaysam. So they would wait until the evening. If they found it, then they would give it. Meaning, if at the end of the reconciliation, they realize that there's too much money, meaning there's someone that paid but never got his nesachim, so then we'll assume that this person is probably telling the truth. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He'll end up getting what he paid for. And let's say not, it doesn't work out. Then we didn't give it to him. They used to write on the chosam the name of the day, Shame Hayoim, Mipnei Haramoim, and that was because of the people that were committing fraud, that were trying to manipulate the system. The Gemara is going to elaborate this on a little bit later. So Mishnah began discussing the halachos of the chaysamos, and it began with a machloikis between Benazai and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, there were four chaysamos. According to Benazai, there were five chaysamos. The chaysamos represented the different formulations of nesachim that were brought as part of the minchas nesachim together with these karbonos. So what was the machloikis? Is it four or is it five? According to the Chachamim, there was one that represented the nesachim of the Mitzayra. According to Benazai, there were two that represented the nesachim of the Mitzayra. The reason Benazai felt you have to have two is because a Mitzayra, depending on his financial situation, that will determine the type of karbon that he's going to bring. A chayte dal, a Mitzayra that's an Araman, brings a different carbon than a Chayta Asher, a Mitzayra that's a Gevir. And being that he brings different carbonates, different Minchas Nesachim, as a result, you had to have two different Chaysamis. According to the Chachamim, no, it was a one-size-fits-all. One would work for the Dal and for the Asher. Says the Gemara, what's the Hezber in the Machloikis? And it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't ask the question on the Chachamim. Rather, the Gemara asks the question on Benazai. Freit the Gemara, Ula Benazai, Chayta Dal, Lama, why do you have to have a special ticket for the dal? What's the kasha? What do you mean? The dal and the asher are different. But the pshat in the Gemara's kasha is that the choytei dal's minchas nesachim was really the equivalent of the minchas nesachim that came along with the gedi. So the Gemara's question is, I know there's a difference between the choytei dal and the choytei asher. There's nothing to talk about. But at the same time, a choytei dal essentially is going to end up bringing the same minchas nesachim as someone that's not a choytei, not a dal, but that's bringing a gedi. He's bringing a sheep. And being that it's the same as the sheep, so why do you have to have a separate ticket? Essentially, it's the same thing. So just give him the ticket that says sheep. Meaning, Pshan and the Chachamim, why the Chachamim held that there's one ticket for the Mitzayra, it's because they held only the Choytei Asher had a unique Minchas Nesachim. As it relates to the Choytei Dal, he could be Yoitza with the Gedi, because it's essentially the same thing. It says Gedi, it doesn't say Choytei Dal, but it's Hainu Hach, it's Hach Hainu. So it's the same thing, Freit the Gemara, why according to Benazai, do you have to have two for the Mitzayra? I understand the Mitzayra himself is different. Different Minchas Nesachim for a Choytei Dal, for a Choytei Asher, but the Choytei Dal's Minchas Nesachim is a Gedi. So just give him the Choysim that says the. So the Gemara says, "Hoyu mevi lugoi imoy bram kirabonon mevi gedi." Now the nafkemina is, and there's a little bit of issues here as it relates to what the right gears is. But one of the things that the Mitzayra had to do that was unique about his Tahira processes is they had to take Shemen and they had to put it on his hand and on his toes and on his ears, right? Part of the Tahira process was taking Shemen and actually putting it on the Mitzayra. So that was extra oil that the Mitzayra had to bring. That someone that was bringing a sheep as an oiler, for example, he didn't have to put any Shemen on his body, and as a result, that Shemen wasn't included. So Benazai held that the Mitzayra Dal, even though really the Minchas Nesachim as it relates to what goes on the Mizbeach was the equivalent of the Gedi, but there's another Chelik of Shemen that doesn't go on the Mizbeach that was unique to the Chayte Dal that the Gedi didn't have. So according to Benazai, that's something he was purchasing as well. And meaning that that's something that he was purchasing as well, so that was something that he had to have. What did the Rabbanon hold? The Rabbanon held that, no, that Shemen he used to bring from his house. It was only the Shemen that went on the Mizbeach. That's where the sensitivity was. Don't bring it from your house, but rather purchase it on the Harabais. But as relates to that Shemen you brought, so that you weren't buying anyways. If you weren't buying that anyways, it wasn't a problem. So essentially, the machloikis between Benazai and the Chachamim, whether there were four Chaysamis or five Chaysamis, really boils down to this prat. It boils down to the nekudas hamachloikis is the shemen that the metzora would put on his body. Is that something that he purchased, or is that something that he would actually bring from himself? Ayin betaklin chadatin, where he talks about, what about the metzora asher? He suggests that maybe the metzora asher was a little different than the metzora ani in terms of this idea of bringing the shemen or not bringing the shemen. Ayin sham, says the Gemara, niske rachel bekama. So the Gemara now is going to go into talk about the actual nesachim. So niske rachel bekama, a rachel, that's a more mature female sheep. So what Nesachim did you have to bring if you were bringing a rachel? Says the Gemara, "Man, the Tanin, we learned in the Mishnah, Gedim and Shamish, Niskei Tzoyin, Gedim, look, Tanim is Chorim and Kavis, Ado Ami, Niskei Rachel, Niskei Gedi." It sounds like the Gedi, it's all the same. The only exception in the world of a sheep is an ayil. An ayil is a male that's in the second year of its life. But other than that, doesn't matter if it's a rachel, any type of sheep is going to be included in what the Mishnah referred to as the Nesachim of Digdi. And the Gemara says, the truth is that we know this from a pasuk. It says, so this pasuk is mentioned after the Torah delineates very clearly and very specifically what the Minchas Nesachim was all about. So we have a general pasuk now that summarizes everything. The Gemara held that this whole pasuk is extra, and it's coming to teach me some sort of drasha. Zok d'mar l'shor echad, lama nema why the Torah say l'shor echad magid. It's coming to teach me shloi chileg be niske egel le niske shor. There's no difference between the nesachim of an egel and the nesachim of a shor. So what's the difference between an egel and a shor? An egel is a cow that's in the first year of its life. A shor is a cow that's in the second year of its life. So a shor is to a cow what an ayil is to a sheep. Says the Gemara, why would you think there's a difference between an egel and a shor? So the Gemara says, Gishmak, shoyu bedin, I would have thought, ben hatzoin ta'an nesachim, u ben habakri ta'an nesachim. Im hatzonu shechile ping niskei keves, le niskei ayil, you need nesachim by sheep, you need nesachim by cows. Now, by sheep, you find there's a nafkemina between the first year and the second year. Because there's a difference between regular tzoin and between an ayil. Ayil has its own nesachim, it was one of the four chaysomais. Lokach, nachliks, I would have thought you should make the same chalupi niskei egel and niskei shar. Tamalem, and this is what the pasuk said, kochi yasa lashare echad magish lechilik ben niskei egel and niskei shar. That even though by ayil, you find the difference, meaning by sheep, there's a difference between an ayil. So you would have thought that maybe a shor should be the same thing because a shor is the equivalent of an ayil. That's the chiddush of the pasuk shor ha'echol. No, when it comes to cows, cattle, all cattle is the same. Oyla ayil lamanem. Why the pasuk have to say oyla ayil? But then I would have thought matzonu shechilu ben niskei ben shanolin niskei ben shnosayim. Once you find that the Torah said that an ayil is different, meaning it's the difference between a sheep that's in the first year of its life versus the second year of its life, an ayil is unique. So I would have thought that maybe there should be a difference between the second year and the third year of its life. All ayil is the same. Once it reaches the stage of ayil, it's always going to have the same halach. Why did Torah say l'sebek vasim? Again, shayu b'din, there could have been a toss that somebody could have made. I would have thought that just like you find there's a chilek between a keves and an ayil, lekach nachlik ben nischei kispel and nischei rachel. Meaning, this is a very reasonable assumption that one can make. If you find the Torah said that an ayil's nesachim is different, an ayil is a male sheep in the second year of its life. You could have clearly thought that maybe the female sheep in her second year of life should also be different. So if an ayil, that's a zocher in the second year, is different, then a rachel, which is the nekeva in her second year, should also be different. Talmud loyma, oy la seba kvasim, to teach me it's all the same. Oy bo izim lama lama, why the Torah say oy bo izim shayu bedin? Again, ima tzonu shechile bin nizchei kevetz nizchei ayil, you see a chiluk between sheep and the ayil, lokach nachle bin nizchei dilug nizchei tayosh. You would have thought you should do the same thing when it comes to goats. What's a goat in the second year of its life, a tayosh. The smallest of the izim is the equivalent of the largest of the tiyoshim. Just like that, shloish lugin. This is also going to be b'shloish lugin zokt the Gemara vaita. So the Mishnah said that on these chaysamos there was a date. The shem ayoyim kasov. And why was the date written? Because of the people that we suspect maybe are going to try to commit fraud. They're going to try to manipulate the system. Says the Gemara, for example, or after faith the Gemara, kasha hagba atzmacha shezia goyse ayoyim. Meaning, it sounds like shem ayoyim kasov. It says Tuesday. Tuesday is not enough information. L'chaira, it should have to be a little bit more specific. Why? Because if we want to know exactly what day this is associated with, because we're afraid that somehow there's going to be a Ramaz, so telling me the day of the week narrows it down to one of 52 days during the course of the year. You would think it's not specific enough. So the Gemara says, Shem Mishma Yikasavol. In addition to the day of the week, Hayoyim Yoyim Shlisha B'Shabbos, it also said the name of the Mishmar. The Mishmar was the group of Kehanim that was serving that day in the Beis HaMikdash. Faith the Gemara, Hagabah Atzmecho, Shazir Yigoyis HaMishmar. The Mishmar has had a rotation. Most times, B'mei Chazal, every Mishmar would serve twice a year. But the truth is, it didn't have to be twice a year. It could have been more, it could have been less. There were different kufas in Jewish history where there were more Kehanim and less Kehanim, and depending on how many Kehanim were, that determined what the rotation was going to be. But the point is, the Chayrut, even mentioning the name of the Mishmar, doesn't really alleviate the entire concern. So the Gemara says, you're right. Shem Hayoyim, it said, the day of the week, Shem Shabbos, Shem Chodesh Hayukasav Aleihem. Therefore, Afilu Roitza Lezayig Ein Matzi Lezayig. Meaning, they used to put a lot of information, and by putting all this information, like this wasn't something you had to worry about. Noob topics. Zok the Mishnah, Shtei Lishkais Hayu B'Mishka, B'Mikdash. There were two Lishkais, there were two rooms, chambers in the Beis HaMikdash that were used for money. Achas Lishkais Chashom. One was called the Lishkais Chashom, Achas Lishkais Hakelim, and the other one was called the Lishkais Hakelim, Lishkais Chashom. And what was the purpose of the Lishkas Chashom? Now, what does the word Chashom mean? Chashom means quiet, like a whisper. It was a shtilla Lishka. The purpose was Yerichet Noitzel Techet Chashom. There were Yorish Shemaim, they used to put things there very quietly. Vaniyim B'nei Toivim, Misparnasim Yitoichet Chashom. And Aniyim B'nei Toivim, these were Aniyim that people didn't know were Aniyim. These were Aniyim that grew up wealthy. These were Aniyim that outwardly had a certain status, but at the same time, they were struggling. And people wanted to be mefarnes them, but for them to take tzedakah would have been not befitting who they were. And as a result, the Yidden came up with a very respectful way to be able to support them. So what they would do is they would put money into the lishka. No one knew who put the money in. The noisnim gave it b'chashoy, and no one knew who took from it either. The Aniyim B'nei Toivim were misparnesin b'chashoy. They would take the money b'chashoy. Everything happened very quietly, and it's for that reason this Lishka was known as the Lishkas Chashoyim. Lishkas HaKelim. The second Lishka was Lishkas HaKelim. What was that all about? Kol Mishum, a son of Keli. Anybody that wanted to donate a Keli to the Beis HaMikdash, Zarek L'Toicha, he would throw it. Why throw it? But he would throw it into this Lishka. Once every 30 days, the Gizba, the treasurer, would open up the room, and he would see what's there. If there was a kli that he thought he can use, right? We can use that. Okay, and they would take it. And all the kelim that they felt they couldn't use them, karm, they would sell with me and the proceeds that they got would go for Bedek Abayis. The Gemara is going to talk about this. Zok the Gemara. So we mentioned over here the Lishkas Chashoyim, which was really a form of charity. It was a form of tzedakah that was done in a very quiet way. What we know as Matan B'Seser. But this was really Matan B'Seser on two levels. It was Matan B'Seser, number one, the one giving the tzedakah didn't know who he was giving the tzedakah to. Number two, the one receiving the tzedakah didn't know who he was receiving the tzedakah from. So everything was done b'chashoy. The people would put the money there b'chashoy. The people would take the money from b'chashoy. No one had any clue who anybody was. It's what we know as matan b'seser, really on the highest level. So the Gemara is now going to begin with a digression, some divrei agada, some classic Gemaras, as it relates to the mitzvah of tzedakah, specifically giving tzedakah with chachma, giving tzedakah in a way where the person receiving the tzedakah doesn't have any ill feelings about it. Zok the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, for Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nafchan, have a parnos. Rabbi Yaakov Idi, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman, they were both gaboy tzedakah. They used to help out aniyim. V'hava yov and l'rab chama avod Rabbi Yishai Adina. However, when they would distribute the tzedakah, they didn't give it directly to the aniyim. But rather, what they would do is they used a middleman. They had an intermediary. They would give it to Rab Chama, who was the father of Rabbi Yishaya. They would give him the money, and he would give it to other people. Meaning they did it through a chain of people. So like this, the ones receiving it didn't realize they were receiving it from the Gabbai Tzedakah. I mean, everyone knew Rabbi Yaakov Arida, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman, were Gabbai Tzedakah. So if somebody received something from them, so it was obvious that they're receiving Tzedakah. But they came out with a way, using Chachma, that the people shouldn't feel like they're taking Tzedakah. They shouldn't realize they're getting Tzedakah. So they had did they do it? They used these middlemen. Rabbi Zechariah chassid Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Zechariah was an edom of Rabbi Levi. Hayakom Lizanov. Everybody used to talk about him behind his back. Amrin, they said, Leitzarach v'nasach. They knew he used to drezach by the Gaboit stock. He seemed like he was always taking money from them. And they said that we know him. He doesn't need it. He's a man of means. So why is he taking that stock? And he lived his life with this reputation. Min the Damach, when he passed away, Batkin the Ashkechun, They researched a little bit and they found that he was actually someone that was taking this money, was distributing it. He never took it for himself, but he was working as an undercover agent for the Gaboid Stalker. This was money that he was taking, not for himself, he was giving it to other people. Rav Chinner bar Papa have a maflik mitzvah belalia. Rav Chinner bar Papa, he used to distribute mitzvah. Mitzvah in this Gemara means tzedakah. He would give tzedakah at night. One night he was out and he met the head of all the Ruchai. So he saw in Perek Arvei Psachim that the Ruchai, they drezach at night. That's why Leil Pesach is referred to Leil Shimurim, because even though it was Laila, the Zohar HaKadosh says it was really day, and because it was day, so there were no ruchas, right? There were no mazikin. But the point is, the mazikin, they're out and about at night. So Rav Chinner bar Papa is out at night. He's distributing tzedakah. Why is he distributing tzedakah at night? So nobody should see him. And he bumps into the head of the Ruchas, Amalei. So the head of the Ruchas tells Rav Chinner bar Papa, Leikin Alfin Rabbi, didn't you learn, Leisasik Vul Reyecha? You're being Masik Vul, you're driving in my lane. Night is when I do my thing. Why are you roaming at night? Amalei, so he told him, Leikin Ksiv, there's another pasuk that says, Matan Besesa Yich Ba'af, I'm giving tztokah. And I'm giving tztokah in such a nice way, where it's Matan Besesa. And Matan Besesa is Yich Ba'af. It has the ability to suffocate Af. So any harm that you want to attack me with, I'm letting you know, my mitzvah matan b'seis says yich be'af. When he heard this, he got a little afraid, have a mitzvah mine, the arak min kamoi, and he just decided to go in another direction. Amar Rabbi Yoina said, ashrei nois l'dal lein kasav kan. So pasuk can tell him that says ashrei maskil l'dal. And Rabbi Yoina made a beautiful diak. He said the pasuk doesn't say ashrei nois l'dal, praise is someone that gives to a dal. Elo, what it says is ashrei maskil l'dal, praise is someone that uses seichel when it comes to giving tzedakah. Zeh, it's referring to Shum, mistakah b'mitzvah. Someone that looks at tzedakah, heich la'soysa, how to do it. He uses chachma. He's mechadesh chedushim in how to give tzedakah. Ketzet ha'ir, Rabbi Yoina Oysa, what Rabbi Yoina himself used to do? K'shei roi, ani ben toivim, shem ha'nechasav, he saw an ani ben toivim that lost his money. Ha'imele, he would go over to him, b'ni ma'asam, mishfosh ha'shamati, shenavlecha yerushim, imaka ma'achar, tol at pereya. I heard that, you know, you're working on a deal and you're going to make some money. I heard that you at some point you stand to receive some sort of Yerusha. So he said, let me give you a little bit of money now. And eventually, when you fall into money, which I know you're going to fall into, you'll make me whole. So like this, the person felt comfortable receiving it. Once he got it, he told him, Antoni, he says, you know what? I don't need the money. He pushed them off again. This is just an example of how Rabbi Yoina was a Derish and Mekayim. Rabbi Yoina is the one that says, Ashrei Mas. This is just one example of how he himself used to implement. Chibarado is have a sovereign beyond me, and Chibarado said that when we were younger, there were older people. The man that have a yovlam, he bein reish shatel atzayim rabba have a nas. If somebody would give them stock between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they would accept. Basa can they have a nas? Afterwards, they wouldn't. I mean, they said the shatan gabon, whatever was bashert for us to get, we would get. And we're not interested in taking tzedakah. We'll make our ishtavlis, and Eibishtol will give us whatever we're supposed to get. So during those 10 days, for some reason, that wasn't part of the cheshbon. You have to know why. But it was, other than that, they wouldn't take any tzedakah. Chemya ishtichim. The Chemya, he used to dig wells. Pagaba Yerushalmi Echad. So learning Yerushalmi, find such a lashon. He once met a Yerushalmi. Amalei. So the Yerushalmi told Nechemya, Zakei imichad etarnegolta. Will you please give me a tarnegolus? He said, I'm hungry. I need tzedakah. Please give me a tarnegolus. Amalei. So Nechemya told the Yerushalmi. He says, you don't need a tarnegolus. Helecha tumesa. He says, take a little bit of money, the kupad, and go buy yourself a little bit of flesh. He took the money and he bought flesh. He ate the flesh and he died. Now this person was used to eating better meat. He wanted a tarnegolus. Nechemya thought that what I have to give him a tarnegolus for? Tzedakah? I don't have to make him rich. I'll give him something. So he went and he bought a little bit of basa, but that wasn't something he was used to eating, and he ended up dying. Nechemya felt so bad about what happened that he walked around screaming and he said, Bo, v'siftu laharuga shal Nechemya. Come be maspit, the person that Nechemya killed. I mean, Nechemya took responsibility for killing this person. Zok to Gemara, on that note, me inyan le inyan, a well-known story. So the story of of Nechemya Yeshichin is not as well known. This next story is much better known. Nochem Ish Gamzu, of Gamzu the Toiv of Fame. Hayomaylich during the Beis Chama. He was once bringing gifts to his Shver. Paga by Mukeshchin Echo, and he met a Mukeshchin, Amalei, so the Mukeshchin told him, Zake imi mad iskabach, I see you're carrying a lot of food. I'm starving. Will you please give me something? Amalei, so Nochem told him, Mechser, he says, I'm on my way to my in-laws. They're waiting for me. On my way back. Stay where you are. I'm going to bring food. I'll take good care of you. Chazar. When Nochem Ish Gamzu came back, Ashkechemis, he saw that he had died. Vava Omale Kivle. And he said, standing next to this Mukeshchin, he felt so bad because he felt complicit. He felt like he played a role in this person's death. He said, the eyes that saw you and didn't have the proper achmanis should become blind. The hands that didn't stretch themselves out to give you tzedakah should be chopped off. The legs that didn't run to you to give you should be cut off. Everything Nochem Ish Gamzu said should happen to him eventually happened. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Nochem Ish Gamzu. The Gemara says in Chagiga Yud Beis Aman Alf that Rabbi Akiva was Mishamish Nochem Ish Gamzu for 22 years. So Rabbi Akiva went to Nochem Ish Gamzu to visit him. Amalei told him, Eli Shani Roya Oischa Bekach. He says, oh, it bothers me so much that I have to see you this way. Amalei says, he told him, Eli Shainani Roya Oischa Bekach. He says, woe to me that I don't see you that way. You look so good. It bothers me that I see you looking so good. Amalei, Rabbi Akiva turned to him and he said, Mat Makaluleni, why are you giving me a klala? Amalei told Mat Mevayit b'yisurim. He said, why are you being Mevayit b'yisurim? So Nochem Ish Gamzu felt the Yisurim was good. He felt like he needed it. And he actually was proud of the fact that this happened to him because he understood that these Yisurim were going to save him. They were going to spear him from Tsaris in the next world. So much so that he tells his Talmud, Rabbi Akiva, bothers me that I don't see you this way. I wish I would see you in the same way. Rabbi Shaya Rabba, Rabbi Shaya the Great, have a Rabbi Debrei Chad Saki Nahoyro. His son's Rabbi, son's Melamed, was a Saginar. He was a Summa. He was blind. And Rabbi Shaya Rabba used to be Mechabed the Saginar. He would eat with him every day. One day, he had guests. And because he had guests, he didn't sit down to eat together with the Saginar. But Ramsha saw in the evening, he went to him. On my way, Rabbi Shaya told the Saginar, Lo yichas mori olai. He said, don't be upset at me. I know I usually eat with you. And today I didn't eat with you. Don't be upset. I'll tell you, I'll explain myself. Begin the Havali Archon Yoimadain. I had guests today. The Armis, and I said, the Loy Levazu be kar the I was afraid that maybe the guests wouldn't show you the proper respect. Begin Ken Loyachas Amariyamid. That's why I didn't eat with you today. Amalei. So the Malamed was so moved by Rabbi Shaya's sensitivity to him that he always treated him so well. And today, not because he was afraid that maybe the other person that would come along with him wouldn't give him that same respect. So he gave him a beautiful bracha. He told him, Ato piyaste, lamande meschame v'loichame. He said, you are Mithayes. You made me feel good. Me. A Saginar, someone that's a Nirva in a Raya, someone that can be seen but can't see. Saginars can be seen, but he doesn't have the ability to see. Dein de Chome Vlei Mischame, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's not a Nirva in a Raya, but the opposite. He's a Raya in a Nira. He sees but cannot be seen. He can't see the Evishah, but Hashem sees everything. Yikabul Piyusach. He should be Mekabul your Tfilois. He said, you were nice to me. The Ebbish should be nice to you. Amalei, so Rabbi Shaya told him, Hadami Nalu, he said, such a beautiful bracha. Wow. He said, you must have heard it from somebody. He said, but this must be plagiarized. Who'd you hear it from? Amalei, so he told him, I did. Mirab Eliezer ben Yaakov. I heard it from Eliezer ben Yaakov. Eliezer ben Yaakov, Olchad, the Sagina heard the Karte. There was a Sagina that once visited the city of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Yosef Le, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Ramine. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he gave him a nice keyboard. He sat him next to him. He treated him with a lot of respect. And the reason he did it was the Yemron, he said, if I'll give this person respect, what are people going to say? The Lulid have a bar nasher rabbo, la yosef le rabbi lezim and yakov le ramine. I must be, there's something chashu about this person. Like this people will take good care of him. V'kachavo. The Gemara says, avdan le parnasa di ikar. People started giving him food and money and they took good care of him. Amar loin. Now this Saginar realized that they were giving him respect that was disproportionate to who he really was. So he said, ma wachem, what's going on over here? Amar loin, they told him, Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov yasa the Raminach. Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov gave you tremendous covet. You must be someone very special. So the Gemara says, v'tzalei aloi hadot sloisa. So this Saginor, he said a tefillah for Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov. This is what he said. Ato gomalta chesed l'mande meschami v'leichome. He said, Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov, you did chesed to someone that's a nira v'enei roya, dein de chome v'loi meschami yigmal yosach chesed. Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's a roya v'enei nira, he should be goimel chesed with you. So we know Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov in Shas, Mishnas, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kav Venoki. We always paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. In the world of Halach, in the world of Psak, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is on a pedestal. You have Rabbi Yosin, Mukaimoi, Misilo, we paskin like. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is another example of a Tana that was Zoicha, that Halacha Kemoisa B'chol Yitmakayim. So this is a Dvaragodo, a little bit about the Chasidus of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the sensitivity that he had to this Sagi Nahar, and the beautiful bracha that he received in exchange from the Sagi Nahar. More on the topic of Tzedakah. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina v'Rabbi Shaya have a Metaylub Ilan Knisha Deloy. They were once spatzering by the shuls, the beautiful shuls in Lud. Amar Rab Chama Bar Chanina, Rabbi Shaya. Rab Chama Bar Chanina turns to Rabbi Shaya. He says, "Kama mamon shikwa v'yisai kan? Aren't these nice shuls? You know how much money my ancestors invested in these shuls?" And he was very proud. Amalei. So Rabbi Shaya turned to Rab Chama Bar Chanina. He said, "You're proud? I have a different take. Kama nefasha shikwa v'yisai kan? Think about how many nefashas your family buried in these buildings. Like have is bnei nashti yulam b'yirayis. Think about how many people they could have supported to learn Torah with all this money. Why do you have to put the money into this very fancy shul?" Rab Abin Abad Ilein Terai. Rab Abin raised money to make the gates, the Sidra Rabba of the big base medrash where he lived. Us Ramana Gabay Ramana came to Amalei. So he told Ramana, "Chamim mayavdes, look at what I did." He was very proud of his accomplishment. Amalei. So he quoted a pasuk in Isaiah. The pasuk says, "Vayishkach Yisrael esoyseu." Hakadosh Klal Yisrael, they forgot their creator. Even Echolis. Now, Pasha, the pasuk means they forgot their creator and they built Echolis. They built temples for Avodah Zarah. But Ramana teached it differently. He said, "Lehava b'nei nash de'ilim b'yiraisa v'ayivin e'cholos." They forgot Hashem and they built these big sha'arim and gates. He said, "It wasn't necessary. Think about what you could have done with all this money." Either way, that concludes the first part of the Mishnah that discussed the halachos of the lishkas chashoyim, specifically Hilchis Tzedakah, specifically the idea of Ashrei Maskil Eldol, giving Tzedakah and using Seichel with a Cheshbon, what to give the Tzedakah to, exactly how to give the Tzedakah. Some very nice anecdotes that the Gemara mentioned. Now the Gemara is very briefly going to discuss the second Lishkah that was mentioned in the Mishnah, and that's the Lishkas HaKelim. So what was the purpose of Lishkas HaKelim? Somebody had a keli, didn't need it, so he would take it, he would throw it into the Lishkas HaKelim. What was the purpose? Kelim were used often in the Beis HaMikdash, not as part of the Mizbeach, but as Bedek Abayis. And they would take these kelim, the gizbar wood, and he would use it if necessary. Now, what if he didn't need it? Take the kelim, he would sell it, and the proceeds would go to Bedek Abayis. Now, we know that not all Hekdesh was created equally. And really, you can divide all Hekdesh into two groups. There's what's known as Kachem Mizbeach and Kachem Bedek Abayis. Kachem Mizbeach is when something is Hekdesh, but the purpose of the Hekdesh, the Nusach of the Hekdesh is that someone was makdish it to go on the Mizbeach. An animal that's going to go on the Mizbeach is Kachay Mizbeach. Kachay Bedek Abayis is when someone's makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, but not for the purpose of actually going on the Mizbeach. Kachay Mizbeach and Kachay Bedek Abayis. V'loi roi zekeroi zatzat ha-shavu shebehen is the both hektish. But they're not the same thing, says the Gemara. Tani, we learned in a braisa, so as it relates to Kachem Mizbeach and Kachem Bedagabayas, Kachem Mizbeach, Moitzian, Eshara, Yulehemi, Kachem Bedagabayas. You're allowed to take money, surplus money, from Kachem Bedagabayas and use it for Kachem Mizbeach. But in Kachem Bedagabayas, Moitzian, Eshara, Yulehemi, Kachem Mizbeach. But you can't do it in the reverse. You can't take money from Kachem Mizbeach and use it for Kachem Bedagabayas. But you could take Kachem Bedagabayas and use it for Kachem Mizbeach. What does it have to do with what we're discussing? Because the Gemara asks a very subtle question from our Mishnah. In the Lishkas HaKelim, if there was a Kelim that was used, needed for Kachem Bedek HaBayis, they would use it. Vashar, what if they didn't need the Kelim? Nimkarin, they would sell it. Udmeim Loif Bedek HaBayis, they would take the money and they would use it for Bedek HaBayis. What's the kasha? Why'd they have to use it for Bedek HaBayis? They could have used it for Kachem Mizbeach as well. Now you're going to tell me, what do you mean? It was donated for Kachem Bedek HaBayis. That's true. But the halach is that if you donate something for Kachem Bedek HaBayis, you're allowed to use it for Kachem Mizbeach. So why did the Mishnah say that it was used dafka for Kachem Bedek HaBayis? It could have been used for Kachem Mizbeach. That's the kasha, like the braisa, that you're allowed to take Kachem Bedek HaBayis and use it for Kachem Mizbeach. Why couldn't they do that? Amar Rav Chizkiya. So Rav Chizkiya said, "You're right. Keini masnis." Maybe the Mishnah means that. Lishkas Bedek HaBayis doesn't mean it had to be used specifically for Bedek HaBayis. It meant it was put into the lishka of the Bedek HaBayis, and if at some point they didn't need it for Bedek Abayis, so then you were able to use it for Kachem Mizbech. The Mishnah is not getting involved in all the halachas of Kachem Mizbech and Kachem Bedek Abayis. This was donated for Bedek Abayis, so you use it for Bedek Abayis. If you don't need it, you sell it and you put the money in the fund of Bedek Abayis. If there's extra money, or if you need money now for Kachem Mizbech, so use it from the Kachem Bedek Abayis. Not a stira. The Mishnah didn't say it. Mishnah wasn't trying to say it. Hadron Halach. Perek Elohein Hamemunim, another Mishnah, another Perek. Zokta Mishnah, more halachis related to what went on in the Beis HaMikdash. Shloisha Asa Shefaros. There were 13 Shefaros. These were kupois, kiosks, where you were able to deposit money in the Beis HaMikdash. Shloisha Asa Shulchanos, 13 tables. Shloisha Asa Shetachavos. There were 13 places that people bowed down on the Beis HaMikdash. Hayu B'Mikdash. Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel, Shabbos Rabbi Chananias Kanakehanim. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Chananias Kanakehanim's family. Hayu Meshtachim Barbas. They didn't just bow down in 13 places, they were bowed down in 14 places. Veichon Hoysi Yaseiros. Before the Mishnah tells us the 13, we'll see that in the next Mishnah, we already go backwards and we start discussing the 14th. Where was this 14th? It was Keneged Dir HaEtzim. It was in the chamber where the wood was kept. A lot of wood was used in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a special room to store all the wood. So it was in the woodshed, so to speak. That's where the 14th Hishtachava was. Shekim Mesoiris B'yodon Me'avoseim Shesham Ha'orin Nignas. And the reason Rabbi Gamliel's family, Rabbi Chinas Kanakehanim's family, did Hishtachava there because they had a Mesoiris that the Orin was hidden there. And because the Orin was hidden there, so it's for that reason they used to make a Hishtachava. Maisa, there was a story of a Kohen Echachayim Mes'asik. There was a Kohen that was in the Dir HaEtzim, and he was working there. And he noticed that one of the tiles on the floor was a little different than the other ones. And he noticed something must be there. He got up, he wanted to tell his friends, before he had an opportunity to say what he wanted to say, until he died. And the Olam knew, Shashama Aron Gomez. The Aron must be buried there somewhere. It must be hidden there somewhere. And that was the sign that people took it, that it wasn't meant to be for this person to have the ability to reveal exactly what he saw, but they understood that it must be related to where the Aron was hidden. Zokta Mishnah Tani, HaShefaris Halal. We mentioned there were 13 Shefaris. And the purpose of the Shefaris was, if somebody wanted to make a donation, you can put it in these Shefaris. So they were Akumais Hayu. They were round, meaning they weren't straight. Soris milmalon, they were narrow on top. Uruchavis milmatam, and they were wide on the bottom. What was the reason? Because we didn't want a rabbi to be able to stick his hand in, making believe that he's giving money, and really he's taking money. So to prevent the rabbi from being able to do things like that, it was dafka made in this shape. Either way, we're going to digress now, and really this digression is going to take us into tomorrow's daf, and the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about the Aron. Why are we talking about the Aron? So this is a digression, Ben Benoishal digression, because the Mishnah mentioned 13 Shefaros, which is sort of related to Mesechtish Golem. There were also 13 Shulchanos. There were also 13 Hishtachavoyos. Oh, Rabbi Gamliel's family, Rabbi Chananias Kanakehanim's family, had a 14th. We don't even know anything about the 13th, but the 14th was in the Dira Eitzim, because they had a Messiah that the Aron was hidden in the Dira Eitzim. So we're going to talk now about the Aron. So we know the Aron was one of the Kalim in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. The Aron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Luchos was stored inside the Aron. So all the Kalim were Kodesh, but the Aron had an element of Kodesh Kadoshim. It was literally in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was something that was never seen. The Kruvim, with all the mysticism that was associated with it, Bezman She'oisim Ritzayin Hashem Makayim, Upneim Mishalachiv, etc., etc. That was the Aron. As a historical fact, there was no Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan that Bezalel built, Truma Tetzavik, Yisisa Vayakob Pekude, there was an Aron. Shloim HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash had an Aron. It was the same Aron that the Yidden had in the first base in the Mishkan. That was with the Yidden in the first Beis HaMikdash. But by Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron. And the question is, what happened to the Aron? There's another question. Even if something happened to the Aron, why couldn't they have made a second Aron? That's a whole nother discussion for another day. But there was a little mystery associated with the Aron, because there simply was no Aron during Bayis Sheni. And as we'll see in the Gemara, that it's because of this historical fact, L'chaira, that the Tanoim grappled with what happened to the Aron. Meaning the Aron must have gone somewhere. Where was it? One other piece of introduction is that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. He was the Melech Bavel, together with Nebuzaradan Sarat HaBachim. He destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. And when he destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, he took the Yidden with him, and he brought them to Bavel, Golus Bavel, 70 years. Eventually, the Babylonian Empire was overthrown by a joint venture between Paras Umadai, the Persian and the Mede Empire, and Paras Umadai eventually gave the Yidden Rishos to build the second Beis HaMikdash, Koiresh. And the rest is history. But the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. So when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, there were a lot of kelim. What did he do with the kelim? He didn't destroy them. Why would he? They were very valuable. He took them with him, and he brought them with him to Bavel. And all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Chayra, went with Nebuchadnezzar to Bavel. He kept them, and he would use them sometimes. He defiled them. In fact, the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah that Achashverosh, by the Sudas Achashverosh, one of the things he did was he took out the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. How do you have the begadim of the Kohen Gadol? Because Nebuchadnezzar had taken everything with him. Paras Umadai, when they overthrew the Babylonian Empire, they took these spoils of the Jews with them from Nebuchadnezzar, and that's how Achashverosh had it. Now, when the Yidden were given permission by Koresh, in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, Cyrus the Great, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, so the Pasuk says that not only did he give the Yidden permission to build the Beis HaMikdash, but he gave them all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Yidden were able to take all the kelim back, regardless. With that introduction, with that backdrop, Zok de Gemara, a classic. Tani, b'shem Rabbi Eliezer, a braisa was taught in the name of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, ha'arun goli imam the Bavel. When Nebuchadnezzar came and he took the kelim with him to Bavel, he took the arun with him as well. My time, how did Rabbi Eliezer know that? He learned it from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Hine yamim bon, v'nizu kol ha'sha b'veisecha, v'asha otzra b'veisecha, ad ha'yem ha'zeh b'vela, lo yivaser dover, amra Hashem. So the exact context is Yeshaya HaNovi is giving strong toichacha to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And he says, a day is going to come that everything is going to go to Bavel. Lo yivaser dover, amra Hashem. What does dover mean? Ain dover elo shadibris l'soicha. It's the Aron that had in it the Aseres HaDibris, which were etched into the Luchas. V'chein u'aymer, another pasuk Rav Eliezer said, u'lechuvas Hashan ha'shalach ha'melech v'mukhanetz v'be'er b'vel m'kli chemnes b'es Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar, a year after he attacked Eretz Yisrael for the first time, he went a second time, and he took with him Vayivieu Bavel. He brought with him to Bavel Im Kli Chemdes Beis. Took with him the Kli Chemdes Beis Hashem. Ezeu Kli Chemdes Beis Hashem. What's the Kli Chemda? Zeha Aron. It's the Aron that had the Torah in it. It had the Luchos in it. That's what it's referring to. Tani Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. I mean, he said no. B'mkayme haya Aron Nignas. The Aron wasn't taken into captivity into Bavel together with all the other kelim. Rather, it was hidden. Where was it hidden? Bim Koimai, the same place that it always was, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's where it was at. The Pasuk says, Vayirichu Abadim, Vayiro Roshi Abadim, in HaKodesh, Al Pnei Advir, V'lo Yiro Achutzah. So the Pasuk is describing the Aron. We need is the last words, Vayiyu Sham Adayim Azeh. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, not to be confused with Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, right? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish was an Amoira. He was a Talmud Chav of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is going up against Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Clearly he was a Tana. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish said, no, it wasn't taken into Galus, but rather it was hidden bim Koimai. How do I know that? Because the Pasuk describing the Aron says, Vayiyu Sham Ad hayoyim azeh. Regardless, we mentioned this pasuk. The pasuk is describing the Aron. Vayirichu abadim. The badim were very long. Vayiro roshi abadim in hakodesh al pnei hadvir. You were able to see the top, the tips of the badim were al pnei hadvir through the paroiches. Meaning the Aron was in the kodesh hakodashim. The poles were protruding a little into the oil moed, a little bit into the Heichal, v'lo yeiro hachutza. However, you weren't able to see the pole. So the Gemara says, how do you read this pasuk? Siv vayeiro. The first says you were able to see it. That amr v'leiro. Then it says you couldn't see it. Which one is it? Ela niv v'leiner. You're able to see it a little bit. It was protruding a drop, but you couldn't physically see it. Both in, they were protruding. V'yoytzen kishnei dadei ha'ishav. Rabbanu namri. The Rabbanu v'therpsha. So Eliezer said, what happened to the Aroin? It went to Bavel, together with all the other kelim. Nebuchadnezzar took all the kelim, he also took the Aron. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, no, it was hidden. Where was it hidden? The Kodesh HaKadosh. Upon another third shot, they say that it was hidden, but where was it hidden? Not in the Kodesh HaKadosh, rather, but Lishka's dir ha'etzim ha'yo Aron God. It was hidden in the Lishka, where the wood was stored. Maisa, there was a story about Mum, Shayo Emin Mafatzal. And the Gemara brings a braisa that elaborates, as it almost always does, on the Mishnah. This story that the Mishnah brought with a little bit more details. There was a Kohen Echad who was about Mum. That the Mishnah didn't say. And he was he was shaving the wood. Eitzim, belishkas dira eitzim, in the dira eitzim. That's what you do there. Rosa ritzba shimishtan b'chavei said. You saw the floor was a little bit different. Bov amal chavei went and he told his friend, boy, reyes haritzba zois shimishtan b'chavei said, come take a look at the floor. It's a little different than the rest of the floor. The hisba glimmer, so David didn't have a chance to finish saying what he wanted to say. Achay yatzasan nishmasoi until he had yitzias neshama v'yadu, and everybody knew b'yichu. They knew 100% shesham ha'arun ganos, that must be with the Aaron his hidden. Tani, Rabbi Shaya had a little bit of a different version. Hikishal Abakornis. When this Kayan saw that the flow was different, he hit it with a hammer, the Yatza Esh, and a fire came out of Srafsai, and that's how he ended up dying. Regardless, three shittas as to what exactly happened to the Aaron, circa Chorban Bayis Rishon. According to the first Pshat, Rabbi Eliezer, it went to Golos together with the Mizbechais and the Menorah together with everything. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, it was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Rabbanon, that was the majority of the opinion. It's also the Stam Mishnah here, in the beginning of the sixth parak in Masechta Shkalim, they were of the opinion that it was hidden, but it wasn't hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, rather it was hidden in the Dir HaEitzim. So we mention now the history of the Aron, what exactly happened to it. So we're going to digress a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Aron. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish said something else related to the Aron. So the first thing we have for Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish related to the Aron is that it was hidden bim koima. Second thing Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish said regarding the Aron, Shnei Aronis, Hayim Halchim, Yisrova, Midbar. When the Yehudim were in the Midbar, they didn't just have one Aron, they had two Aronis. So we're familiar with the Aron. There was a second Aron. Echshay Zatoyra, Nusuna Bataycha. The first one had a Torah inside of it. So what's this Torah that was inside of it? So this is actually referring to a Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that's mentioned in the end of Sefer Devarim. And the reason he wrote it was because there had to be one Torah that was going to be 1,000% authentic. So if there was ever an issue where people had to go back and to make sure something was accurate, you can always refer to this Sefer Torah, known as the Sefer Torah Sheba Azara. So this Sefer Torah was inside the... It was inside the one Aron, the Echad, and the second one, Shayu Shivrei Haluchas, had inside the Shivrei Luchas. So the first Aron was the Aron, and the second one had in it the Shivrei Luchas. And Zunah B'Tachas, that's Shayu Zunah B'Tachas, the one that had the Torah inside of it, Hayimudach B'Yomai, that always remained in the Oyel Might. Adol, the Chsiv, that's the Pasuk that says, V'Aron B'Ris Hashem, U'Moshe Loi Moshe Mikerev HaMachne. It never left the Machne. That's Shayu Shivrei Haluchas, the one that had the Shivrei Luchas inside of it, Nichas V'Yotzei Imam. That was Nichas V'Yotzei, U'Pam Shayim Mizrahi Imam. Sometimes it would go out to war together with them. Rabban and Ami, the Rabban said, Aron Echad Hayah, there weren't two Aronis. It was one Aron. Upam Achas Yotza B'mei Eli. This Aron did leave. In fact, one time it went out in the times of Eli V'Nishba and it was even captured. So in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, we learn about the Aron being captured. It was the Aron. The Aron was actually captured. So we have a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish and the Rabbanon. With regards to one Aron or two Aron, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, there were two Aronis. There was the Aron, and then there was an Aron that had the Shivrei Luchas inside of it. According to the Rabbanon, it was all the same Aron. According to Bidu ben Lakish, the Aron remained in the Heichel. There was another Aron that used to fight together with the Yidden sometimes. It left if necessary. According to the Rabbanon, the Aron sometimes left if necessary. So do you want to kind of say the Rabbanon? Right, the Rabbanon, there was only one Aron. Because the Pasuk says that when the Plishtim heard that the Aron was coming against them, together with the Yidden to fight, they said, Oy lanu, woe is to us, mi atzilenu miyadu elikimo adirim o'ela. It's mashma from their reaction, this was milut loichamim yamin, they saw something they had never seen before. They must have seen the Aron. Clearly, the Aron was what went out. Kayim eseyel Yehuda ben Lakish, a pasuk that seems to support Yehuda ben Lakish, pasuk says, Vayim eshal achia, Shal turns to achia, and he says, Agisha Aron elikim. He says, bring the Aron. The Aron wasn't there. It was in Kiryas Arim. So how is Shaul telling Achia to go to the Arim? It was in Kiryas Arim. Must be there were two Aronis. So the Gemara says, Ma Avdan Le'Rabban. What did Rabbanon do with that pasuk? No, Hagisha Elaya Tzitz. What he was referring to was the Tzitz. So the Kohen Gadol wore Shmoyne Begadim. But he didn't always wear the Shmoyne Begadim. So when he would travel, he would have like a suitcase sometimes where he kept his Shmoyne Begadim. What Shaul was telling Achia was, go to the Aron where the tzitz is. That's what he was referring to. So he wasn't referring to a second Aron. He also wasn't referring to the Aron, because the Aron wasn't there where Shaul and Achia were. He was referring to the tzitz. He meant to tell him, take the Shmoyne Begadim. Kari Misayeh, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Another pasuk that seems to support Yehuda ben Lakish. The pasuk says, Aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoishvim basukais. The Aron was in Sukkos. V'aloy Aron b'tzion ha'yeh. It was in Tzion. Ma avdan le'Rabban. What is Rabban going to do with this pasuk? The Gemara says, no. Sukkos over there means he meant to say that at that point, the Beis HaMikdash, hadn't been built yet. As a result, the Aron was being housed in a temporary structure, in a dira saroi, such as a sukkah. Not sukkah is a place, not sukkahs they were fighting. It meant to say that it was in something temporary. That's what he was referring to. Either way, the first part of today's daf was a digression. The second part of today's daf was a digression. And the third part of today's daf was a digression. First part of the daf talked about the different chaysamos that were necessary as part of the two-step process as it relates to someone that brought a carbon that had a minchas nesachim component. The second part of today's daf spoke about stokah, the lishkas chashoyim, ashrei maskel eldar, the concept of using chachma and being mechadesh chedushim almost, using ge'oynes when it comes to giving tzedakah. The third part of today's daf spoke about the Aron. Tomorrow's daf is going to talk more about the Aron, a little bit about the Shemen HaMishcha, another interesting daf that has counterparts in Bavli, and we're going to see it from the Talmud Yerushalmi perspective.